Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Laurie Robinson, Sports Radio 101.9 FM, the Fan, WFAN.
Welcome to the program. I'm Laurie Robinson, talking sports, having fun with you here on The Fan. At 877-337-6666 here in New York City. Game 7, as in we have a Game 7. It's an overtime. And, yeah, from some counter-programming, I figure if you're listening to me, you're probably super into baseball. Like, that's your jam. Well, good news for you. I watch both the Yankees and Mets because, you know what? This the theme for tonight's show is going to be walking and chewing gum at the same time, as in, I can do both those things. I cannot jump up and down, pat my stomach, and tap my head or do whatever. That I can't do. Never have been able to do that. But I can walk and chew gum, do multiple things at the same time, breakaway, and not a goal. Okay. So anyway, here's what I will be doing right now. I will be watching Game 7 here in, oh, there's a delayed penalty, by the way. Rangers about to go on the power play in overtime. They have control of the puck as soon as they, yeah, here we go. So, admittedly, I'm going to try and keep one eye on hockey, and then I'm open, I figure you want to talk baseball. I heard people talking a little football with Kim. Look, you want to talk NFL? I will always talk NFL. Any team, any time, always up for that. That's perfectly fine. A lot to talk about with baseball. It was a big day in baseball. In New York City, Mets lose their first series of the year. The Yankees, for the love of God, man, they are good. Are the Yankees the best team in baseball? I mean, certainly right now they are, and they just keep going. And by the way, at what point do we decide that Nestor Cortez Jr. is no longer a fluke, and as Aaron Boone said, is one of the best pitchers in baseball? Nestor himself says no, but I think he's wrong. I think he is showing he is consistently delivering. So we're going to talk about that and the case for Nasty Nestor and what he's been doing yet again. Goes 8 innings, longest start of his career, longest start so far this season for the Yankees. And the Yankees get another series win against the Chicago White Sox. And it's their eighth straight series win of the season. So we have a lot of baseball to do. But the walking and chewing gum part, I will tell you, I'll be talking to you. I will be engaged with you. I will be excited about talking to you, as I always am, every Sunday night here on The Fan. But I will have an eye towards overtime. Rangers, Game 7, overtime against the Penguins. What a series. It goes, you know, Game 1 goes to triple overtime, and here we are in Game 7 going to an overtime. And good save by Yari there. Nice shot. Looked like that was Panarin, who really has been pretty terrible in this series, but with big shot there. Anyway, I'll try and keep you apprised of what's going on. And if you would like to do what I'm doing, you know, put a little visual on, get the video going on the Ranger game. Give us a listen. Give me a listen. And even if you're watching hockey and want to call in while you're watching, I mean, I don't know. I don't know that you would, but if you would, if you do, happy to do that. But we'll be all over the hockey after it ends, and we certainly have a lot of baseball. And, by the way, you want to talk NBA, you can. I don't know. The thing I'll say right now is just overall big picture. I was talking to Peter Schwartz about this in the bullpen a moment ago, is that the NBA should be embarrassed about what's going on tonight. You wanted to go head-to-head. And I, transparently, I always tell people where I roll. I am a bandwagon hockey fan. I always admit that. I'm the worst kind of hockey fan. I know. I get it. But I love the Stanley Cup playoffs. I get into hockey. Absolutely. Whatever one of our locals is doing well, I will hop on that bandwagon. I will get excited. And I will be watching games. And what here we have game seven. And we're in overtime. And shot on goal, good save there by Jari. Here we are in overtime, and meanwhile, we got a basketball game, a game seven, Dallas Mavericks 121 over the Phoenix Suns 79. I don't think even Peter Schwartz put that in the update. It's a game seven in the NBA, but I don't blame him. And this game's been over since the first quarter. This one was over. They were up like 30 points in you know, it seemed like in the first few minutes of this basketball game. And what I don't understand, if you're the Phoenix Suns, is Chris Paul is supposed to be and is one of the greatest basketball players and point guards of all time. They're playing at home. They don't have Devin Booker back. I mean, I don't understand. What's the excuse to be down by 40 at home in a game seven and to have essentially no-showed? No-showed in a game seven at home. Right, you know, NBA embarrassing in their game seven tonight. NHL on fire. Exciting. With the NHL, you know, postseason Stanley Cup playoffs, you know, if we're comparing both postseasons, what the Stanley Cup playoffs deliver for you. Anyway, all right. So, topics, by the way, a couple of guests. There it is! Yes! It looked like, was that Zibanejad? Or was that Panarin? I can't even tell. It's in the middle
of it. I believe it was Panarin.
Panarin? Oh my God, if that's Panarin, totally redeems himself. He was, garbage. He was terrible all series long. Didn't show up. And Artemi Panarin with the power play game winner, series clincher, overtime winner, and the Rangers are moving on. Oh, my God. Let me say, oh, sorry, folks. They are. I got the replay here. And Rangers on the power play, and Panarin just comes in, something he didn't do much of all series. I mean, that was the other frustrating thing for the Rangers. So much of this series is so much passing around, never shooting, passing up opportunities to shoot. And finally, lo and behold, you put a shot on goal and it goes in. Wow, that is just huge for the Rangers. Oh, my God. And huge for Panarin. Wow. All right. So, let's set the program. In terms of guests coming up around 11 o'clock-ish, and they're doing the nice thing, by the way, here. Another thing the NHL does better than everybody else. I mean, they shake hands in other leagues, but the handshake lines in the NHL, after these guys have been pummeling each other and punching each other, and now the sincere handshake line in the NHL is really the sportsmanship, and what you see there is fantastic. So coming up at 11, I'm going to be joined by EJ Raddick from NHL Network, and we'll talk about, break down this series and talk about Rangers, Penguins, Game 7. And then coming up at about in the 12 o'clock hour, right around 12:30-ish or so, I'm going to be joined by Joe Mayo. He with SNY, SNY.TV, SNY Digital Network, co-host of the Mets pod there, and we'll talk about some stories there. So those are the two guests, but plenty to talk about. You want to start off with happy to talk about hockey, and I'll get to that, and we'll break it down. But if you, I figure if you're a massive hockey fan, you probably are I don't know. Probably just getting over this and watching some post game. But if you want to call in on that, I'm happy to. And we can also obviously talk Yankee baseball, talk Mets baseball. I'll throw out a few topics for you right now. Let me start with the Rangers, since they just won. And then we'll shift to some baseball. But phone lines are open, 877-337-6666. So in terms of the Rangers, the themes that I had coming into this game is that if they're going to win, your stars have to be stars. And maybe that seems obvious. And yes, there's always a role player and somebody who comes up big, but your stars have to be stars. That's what I wrote. That was my script. That's what I wrote before this game. And when you look at it here, your stars have to be stars. Igor Shesterkin was a difference maker in this game. He was not a difference maker all series long. He certainly could have and should have been. We look at it and say, you know, Igor Shesterkin probably wins the Vezina Trophy for the best goalie in the NHL all season long. He's an MVP candidate finalist. And he's been the one, when you look at the Rangers and what gives them a sense of belief and identity, it's been their goalie. It's been Igor all season long. And the fact that they were going up against a team that until tonight was playing their number three goalie, and yet the Rangers didn't have the kind of vast advantage in goal all series long. So Igor needed to be Igor. That was one thing. Second thing, in terms of stars need to be stars. For so much of this series, when Sidney Crosby played, you know, he missed game six. When Sidney Crosby played and was out there with his you know, compadres, with his line mates, When Sidney Crosby, and he elevated the entire team and made everybody on the Penguins better in a way, and also the Rangers' top line were less. They were so fixated defensively in trying to stop Crosby and that they became ineffective. And they ramped up their game as the series went on, and in particular were really good in game six. But stars need to be stars. Chris Kreider comes out, the captain, scores the first goal. Kreider sets a tone, and a stat, I think it was pregame, I'm not sure if I saw this on NHL Network or MSG or wherever it was, but 75%, I think it was NHL Network, to credit them, 75% of the time when a team scores first in a game seven, they win. Now, Rangers were behind a lot of this game. They could have lost it. But 75% of the times, team who scores first wins, happened here. Kreider giving the Rangers, and for a lot of that first period or second period, they weren't the better team. Pittsburgh looked like the better team. And Igor played well and kept them in this game. The Rangers defensively kind of falling apart at times, making it so hard for Igor. But stars have to be stars. Chris Kreider with a huge goal, and Mika Zibanejad with a huge goal, and now Panarin with the game winner. Stars have to be stars. And Rangers stars came up big. So that's one thing. Now, if they had lost this one, certainly from a power play standpoint, from a special team standpoint, they were not good. They were not good on special teams. Gave up a couple power play goals, gave up a shorthanded goal, and until overtime had not scored. You know, they were poor on power plays. But when it mattered at the end, Igor, 42 saves. Zibanejad, a goal, two assists. Panarin, the game-winning goal. Kreider, the first goal of the game, the tone setter. Stars will be stars. 877-337-6666. So we're going to talk more about this, about the Rangers. As I said, got a guest. We're going to go dive into that one. But a couple other topics for you that I'm just going to toss out. One is some Yankee topics here for you as well. Yankees, are they the best team in baseball? And at what point do we decide Nestor Cortez is an ace? Is he an ace? Because in Yankees history, this is courtesy of Yes Network. In Yankees history, here's the list of pitchers who've, in back-to-back starts, gone 15-plus innings, given up four hits or less, or fewer, one run or less, and 18-plus strikeouts. So, back-to-back starts, 15-plus innings, you went at least, let's say, 7 and 8, four hits or less, gave up only the one run or less, and had 18 or more strikeouts. The sum total list of pitchers in Yankee history who did that. Roger Clemens in 2000. That was in the postseason. Mike Mussina in 2001. And Nestor Cortez Jr., his last two starts, May 9th and 15th. And we can keep waiting for the league to catch up for him. But all he keeps doing is going out there and dominating. Cortez, you know what else is fun about him? He pitches quickly. He talked today about that he learned that from his dad. His father told him to, they were talking about this in the Yankee broadcast. His dad told him, stop walking around, stay on the mound, stay in one place. And so he pitches with pace. He stays on the mound, which means your defense stays on your toes. If you watch the Yankee game, Josh Donaldson at third base was just a vacuum cleaner today, making every play at third base. So very fun Yankee game. We'll dive into that. And then the Mets. They lose to the Mariners. They finally lose a series. I see Mets fans all over social who are in the sky is falling mode. There's certainly some Mets fans. They're ripping on Pete Alonso, who's the Mets had a comeback going, and Starling Marte does not come through with the bases loaded. With a runner on third base. Runners on second and third. Runner on third base, less than two outs. Doesn't come through. And then Pete Alonso strikes out to end the game and swung at some balls that were some pitches that were balls, and some fans upset about that. So we can talk about that, but also interesting that Seattle's manager, the Mariners manager, Scott Servais, walked Lindor to load the bases and get to Pete Alonso in that situation. So it was a fun game, went back and forth, lot to break down there. Some not so great news for the Mets. Tylor Megill going on the IL with some inflammation in his arm. Hopefully that's just a few weeks. Seemed like that from the MRIs. But now the Mets going to have to go, after using up the bullpen so much, have to go to a spot starter, Trevor Williams. So that's not so great. We'll talk about that as well. Disappointing loss. But for those who are blaming Pete, you can call me, you can complain. But to that, I say stop. Guy's been great all season. And it was a bad at bat. Yes. He and Marte. Bad at bat. When I saw Marte up there, I thought, well, that's not good for the Mets. He's not enough of a contact guy in that situation. But I'm not going to crush Pete on that. And the other topic that at some point I want to get to in the show, because I thought that it was watching... If you watched the Mets at all this weekend, you saw Jesse Winker out there in left field and enjoying the notion of being a villain and having a love-hate relationship with the crowd. And he plays to it so well and clearly having a great time, loves the fans. And you could tell, even before he said that, how much he's loving the whole thing, loving the fans. And it is that true love-hate relationship. Works well. But then former Met relief pitcher Paul Sewald tried to get in on the action as a villain as well, trying to egg on the crowd. And you could tell it was coming from a place of anger, anger towards the Mets franchise, anger towards Mets fans. And I'll tell you why I thought it did not work coming from seawalls, and it got me thinking, what is the definition of a villain? What makes for sports? What's a sports villain? What kinds of roles are there? What types of players, of athletes, of people fall into the category of villains, of being good villains, good authentic villains? And to me, Jesse Winker, absolutely, I'll put him in there, has all the characteristics of it. And I'll give you a couple of prototypes, archetypes of good villains. And Paul Sewell, no. Sorry, dude. You don't make it. All right. 877-337-6666. Plenty to do. We got a Rangers game 7. We got to dive into it. We can talk about all three periods. We can talk about overtime and the heroes of it and all of that coming up. Plus, Yankees, Mets. You want to talk some NBA? Anything. Phone lines open. 877-337-6666. Be right back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.